Welcome to the Klamath Tribes podcast. Ken Smith here today talking with Tom Parnell, movie producer. Tom, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Movie producer, we don't talk to many on the Klamath Tribes podcast, but this is a Native American connection and the Klamath Tribes because you are producing a local movie called Timberlands, about a logging mill and a confrontation, shall we say, with the local tribe, which takes place in southern Oregon. Sounds like it could even be the Klamath Tribes, if you think about it. Is that where the premise came from?
Yeah, we kind of kept, I think, all of the connection just kind of neutral because it's the same message no matter, you know, what tribe or what indigenous individuals involved. So we just kept it kind of neutral. But yeah, that's kind of where we were. And yeah, that's certainly where we filmed.
Well, you know, the Klamath Tribes had logging rights that were taken away from them. And there's a little, you know, a little anger still left over from that loss of revenue that was quite significant before it happened. Did you do
much? Yeah, we kind of spun off on that, but this was a private, obviously, that in the plot of the film, but it was a private interest that wanted the land, and I'll leave it at that until we can watch the film.
Who thought of the screenplay? Was that from you or from the directors?
Yeah, Bailey Tony. Last year in the same locale, we filmed a movie called Last Tour Home. We dealt with the same kind of issues, and that's been sold now. We've got an agent, so that should be sold and ready for viewing on streaming within the next 2 to 3 months. Then we filmed a pilot, same thing, same basic story that spawned off Timberlands. But the writers, the original writers are Bailey Tony and Miles Clovesy. I'm a writer as well. And so I assisted in it somewhat, mostly with my character, because I play Robert Sterling, which is the patriarch of the family, the Sterlings. That Sterling Timber is the company in the movie that's involved. So yeah, I had a little hand in the writing, but mostly it was theirs. I just was mostly just acted and executive produced.
You went into your own kick to produce this.
You have a new message.
You know, this is coming out of your pocket. No financing beyond that. You're the sole financier?
I am the sole financier in this movie, yes, sir.
Yeah, that came out in the set when I was there working one day for you for a role as a TV reporter. But then that's when we met and talked
that's,
about
that's
this.
Why. Yeah, that's why I was treated with so much respect, not just for my acting skills. Yeah. I surmise.
Yeah, yeah. If you were just an actor, you know, I wouldn't really bother.
Yeah.
Well, then they said, no, that's the guy that's financing. I'm like, oh, okay. And interesting.
Well,
enough,
just
yeah.
Well, just a little hint. When you're watching a film and you see all the executive producers that pop up, most of the time those are the ones that funded the film. But anyway, go ahead.
I always wonder, like, how they share the money. Like, you look at some of these big budget movies and there's executive, you know, one of the stars is an executive producer. And there's like six others. Mm-hmm. So whether they got to divvy it up by percentage of what you invested?
Exactly. Yeah, that's how we do it. The investors typically get their, you know, their investment back before any of the profits are shown. I mean, the actors are paid out of the original budget. Sometimes the bigger actors will have a little bit on the backside, but for the most part, they get paid out of the budget. But then once the film sells and starts producing income, then the investors get their money back most of the time before any of it's divvied up, you know, with the writers and directors and all that have an interest in it.
And you got a very large cast of Native Americans from the area, which is interesting.
Yes.
But that's what it's about, yeah. Right? They're the main characters, including one of the stars or the star, Wes Studi.
Yeah, Wes was in it. He was fantastic. I had never met him before, so it was an honor to work with him.
Last of the Mohicans.
Right.
People aren't familiar with him. I didn't recognize him when I was on set. You know, my scene is with him, and you know, it's been a long time since I seen Last of the Mohicans. So, but how did you feel that?
Yeah,
how did you feel they all did? You know, some of them didn't have any acting experience.
No, they were all fantastic. Yeah, we had a lot of extras. We had a big bonfire scene that there was a lot of ad-libbing, and they were fantastic, all of them. They just seemed to be natural at it and enjoyed it, and we kind of made it a good time for them, and everybody had a great time on the set.
By the way, did I get Wes's last name right? I don't know. Wes Studi?
Yeah, Studi.
Yeah.
Yeah, Studi.
Yeah, yeah. And then you had another actor from, there was a couple of Native American actors from the TV world as well, or they've been in some movies. Want to mention them?
Sure. Irene Bedard, who was in Killers of the Flower Moon. She was in there, and I can't remember the main character that played Owen, or his name was Owen, but he was fantastic. I have a scene where I'm about to shoot him, and he was very, very great acting skills. Great guy, upbeat, you know, just made everything fun. But yeah, everybody did a good job. I didn't see any weaknesses in any of the acting roles.
Well, thank you. Kenneth Ruthert is from formerly of the Klamath Tribes. He has a supporting role in there as well, playing the sheriff.
Yeah, he was good. I enjoyed working with him. He came to arrest me at the end, but he was very funny, very, very easy to work with, low-key guy, but had some great stories. Of course, Robert Closey was Miles, the director, his father, and he's been in, I don't know, over 500 shows and movies. He was 14 years on Blue Bloods with Tom Selleck, and he just made a natural looking sheriff, and he's got great acting skills. So he was also a joy to work with.
How'd you find the actors, the leads that you just mentioned?
That was up to Bailey and Miles took care of all that. I didn't have really any input.
Just
in
do
that,
an open casting call, or did you recruit them?
Yeah, they recruit them, or they put out to different agents, and the agents will recommend actors, and then they'll usually do an audition on camera and then submit that. That's basically how it's done now. I mean, you know, when I audition for roles, same thing. I've got a setup in my home that I'll do the audition myself, and then we upload it to my agent, and then whoever your agent, they'll submit it to the casting director of the film or TV show.
Mm-hmm. And it's co-directed. Interesting, a team of directors in this one too. Two guys, a woman and a man, and that's
well. They're also engaged. They're also engaged.
Oh, really? They seemed like they had a lot of love in the set there.
Yeah, they've done a bunch of films together. But yeah, it's kind of funny when one's acting, the other's doing the directing, and vice versa. But they work as a team, and they're very talented. Both of them, both talented young people.
And Bailey is from the local area, Medford.
Yeah, that's what I understand. Yeah, she's from Medford, Oregon area. I just love it there. That's my third project we've done there, and I just love it.
Yeah, that's and you know, the scene that I was in was at the mill, and the mill owner's very gracious and accommodating.
Yeah, Brittany, she was one of the owners. She was fantastic. And they stayed and watched a bunch of the scenes, too, but they gave us full access to the mill.
Yeah, that was the big scene. Okay, we're starting with Wes Studi was the standoff. He's the head of the – is he the chief of the tribe in this movie?
No. He served in a representative capacity with the government on behalf of the tribe. But he certainly took that opportunity because he was he would be a lobbyist and stuff for better rights for the indigenous tribes. And he gave that speech at the standoff. That's why the press was there. And that's why I wrote that in. So that was what he was trying to accomplish. Unfortunately, there's some other things that went off on the side I won't mention, but, you know, with the whole confrontation with firearms. But yeah, he's the one that gave that big speech.
So when are we looking to wrap the entire shoot?
Well, you know, that's a great question. It's sometimes it's just there's no single answer that fits all the movies. I mean, typically we should have the post should take no longer than 3 to 6 months, because they've got to do all of the editing on the film itself, patching the scenes together. They've got to do the music. They've got to do all the sound editing. So, you know, I'd say within 6 months it should be ready. We'll probably enter into some more film festivals, and then we'll look to market it. So I wouldn't say you're probably not going to be able to see it until maybe the end of 2025, maybe the fall. It was the last tour home that we shot there last year. we got invited to, accepted to the Soho International Film Festival in New York City and the Utah and in Toronto. So, you know, that's important that you get those accolades when it comes to the sale of the product, and the quicker it gets sold and is available to view. So that's about the average, 6 to 9 months.
Is there any Oregon, Portland film festival that you can enter?
Yeah, we did. Hang on a second. Well, yeah, we did enter. I don't think we've heard back yet. Let's see.
I would think it's a shoo-in for that, you know, since it's filmed here and the actors are from here.
Yeah. Yeah, I have not heard back from Portland yet.
When is that film festival, do you know?
Yeah, I don't have the date, no.
Why don't we give the audience a little bit of a summary of what the story and the film's about?
Well, the film is about Robert Sterling, who I play, who owns a timber company. We've had a lot of wildfire losses, and because of the massive fires there in the Northwest, and I've lost hundreds of thousands of acres of timber, 30 years of growth, and so there's a plot that we really need to buy to keep the company going, because we're looking at real financial issues. And it just so happens that it's owned by, indigenous American there, him and his wife, and he won't sell it. So needless to say, I kind of resort to more severe methods to obtain the land to save my company. So, and I'm not exactly a good guy in this, and it culminates there at the end with my arrest. And so there's some fatalities in that shootout at the mill that you were part of. And so basically it's just, I wouldn't say greed, but it's my way of trying to save the company and using any measures necessary to do that. So that's basically what the film's about. But you know, it's all three of the projects were about the disparity in the treatment of indigenous Americans, that both in law enforcement, business, and right down the whole list. You know, it's like I think Hillary Swank was in that film Alaska Daily, which kind of touched on it, as did, I believe, the last True Detective, which was sent the same message. It was filmed in Alaska, and the way the treatment or the lack of treatment of indigenous Americans. So we're just trying to spread that message and try to help them out all we can. And I think it's going to touch a lot of hearts, hopefully, and people will be, more educated on the plight and what this country's done to them over the years and continues to do.
Seems to be quite a lot of interest now in the movie industry and TV for indigenous stories.
Oh, yeah. It's very relevant. It sure is. And I hope people continue to send the message.
As for yourself as a movie producer, how long have you been doing that? Your real job is personal injury lawyer from Florida.
Yes, I am sitting in my law office as we speak. I've been practicing law for over 40 years. In about 14, 12, it's been about 12 years, going 13 years, that I wrote my first screenplay, which, by the way, was just horrible because I didn't know what I was doing. And so I've certainly learned over the years and tried to perfect the craft as best I can. My first acting role was in 2013. Believe it or not, this is no judgment. That film's about to come out only because the director kind of withheld it for years and now decided he wants to put it on the market. So that was my first acting role in 2013. And I mean, I've been acting my whole life in courtrooms, so I always figured I could do it. And apparently other people seem to think I'm okay at it. So, and I really enjoy it. I remember after the first film, when it was a wrap, I came back to Tampa. It was in Los Angeles. I came back to Tampa and went through basically something like postpartum depression. I mean, I'd prepared for that so extensively and enjoyed it so much, and then it was just over. And you think, wow, I'm never going to be that character again. I'm never going to say those words again, and I don't know if I'm ever going to act again. And it was so I knew then that I just loved it, and I wanted to continue to do it. And I still feel the same way sometimes right after a shoot, but I love it. But anyway, I've written about 12, 14. Scripts. I've got four projects scheduled for next year, a couple of studio projects that I've just through meeting people and them seeing the work so that I'm looking forward to that. I'll be in Spain once, Hungary once, I think, and then Virginia and New Jersey on some projects. So I get to work with some of the bigger actors that I've watched over the years, which is kind of a thrill for an old man. So
you're busy.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but I've been, you know, this law practice of mine has been going for, you know, like I said, 40 years, and I've created enough staff. I've got a couple of paralegals been with me over 20 years, a case manager, two other lawyers that kind of handle it while I'm gone. So it's in good hands when I'm not here. So that's allowed me to you know, participate in this lifestyle, to be able to act and write and also run a law firm. Yeah. So I feel very fortunate.
Could go the other way. You know, you could just become a great actor and a great movie producer and the hell of the law firm.
No, I ain't giving up my day job, brother.
Oh yeah. It's a little too risky.
having this day job has allowed me to be able to finance films.
Yeah.
And to participate in projects that otherwise may not have been available to me.
Do you ever, are we always looking at the bottom line? We are trying to make a profit, aren't we? Or is it just for the
art? Yeah, but yes. And I would never admit to anything short of that, but quite frankly, because the first few films, now I didn't get my investment back, but we have several times. And for me, if the actors are paid, directors, everybody's paid, any other investors get their money back. I mean, getting the money back is the goal, so I can make another one, so I continue to make them. I'm not real worried about the profit. If something ever really hits, and you know, that'd be great, but that's not why I'm doing it. I'm doing it for the love of the creativity and the love of acting.
Yeah. All right, very good. I saw, you know, the Academy Awards are coming up, so I'm trying to load up on the movies that are being nominated. I'm in, you know, I don't know if you're, I assume you're, are you in the Screen Actors Guild?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
So we get the SAG Awards, so, you know, we get to watch all the movies, and
yeah.
That's when I look at the movies not only, you know, from the entertainment standpoint, but from the cinematography, the director. Saw a heck of a movie the other day, the one on Dracula, Nosferatu. I forget how to pronounce it.
Well, I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, no.
But I am a big time movie buff. In fact, when I'm not working or you know, working out or doing whatever in my personal life, I'm watching a television screen. I mean, I watch everything I get my hands on. I watch the TV series as much as I can. The problem with writing and producing is, you know, is and not to say that I've got all the answers, but I certainly can recognize a lack of continuity and certainly some poor performances from actors and sometimes something that just makes no sense, the logic in the script. And so I'll be watching it with my children, my friends or family, and I can't help but say it out loud. Like, are you kidding me with that? Look at that. Will you please? They'll just yell at me. Stop talking. You know, let us enjoy the film. You're the only one that notices that. I'm like, okay, sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, sorry, but it's affected. It's really, you know, sometimes I can't enjoy a film because of those factors. It's like, God almighty, what were they thinking? But, you know, it's almost really affected my enjoyment of some films. But on the flip side, if I see a really movie well done, well acted, well written, it's a joy. And I'm proud of my fellow writers and actors.
Well, go check out Robert Eggers' Nosferatu. It's the original Dracula that was redone. You know, with the old the shadowy guy with the pointy head, nose, and the fingers, and it was like 1920s. Yeah. This first came out, and now they've remade it. And the cinematography, the writing, this was like blew me away on the quality of this film. It should win for like best screenplay or cinematography and costumes. It'll be up there. But, and then I saw A Complete Unknown with Timothée Chalamet, about Bob Dylan. That was another. Those are my two favorite movies of the year.
Yeah,
one's a horror film, really one's a biopic. Two great movies that you'll see coming out with the SAG Awards, I'm sure, and the Academy Awards as well. But
I agree. Looking forward to it. Yeah, I'll check that out, though.
Yeah. So anything you want to add about the movie or, you know, your experience here in Oregon being a filmmaker?
Well, just that it's such a beautiful, beautiful part of this country that a lot of people aren't aware of. And the people were just amazing. I mean, everybody just opened their arms to help us be part of the project, to turn out with the extras in the rodeo scene. It was just amazing. It was, I mean.
You filmed that? You filmed that?
Oh, yeah.
How did that go? The rodeo scene was like, I figured that would be the most difficult shot for the whole movie.
Well, it's like sometimes you don't know this, but you're watching a movie and they want to limit or make like a crowd look bigger than they are. We had 100, 150 people there, so it was plenty, but obviously it's not going to fill up an arena. So you get them all together in one area and then you just do it, what they call a tight shoot. And so, you know, it looks bigger than it is. Same way with the horse riding and some things Dan did, you know, with the, like before bull riding, like the gate's going to open, but we didn't really film him riding that. But, you know, when you put it together, it looks extremely real and, you know, kind of gets the message across that you're trying to get. So it was very well done. Thank goodness it was rainy. And I woke up that morning thinking, oh, this is going to be great. But I didn't realize the arena was inside, which was perfect.
Where did you go to film it?
You know what? I don't even remember.
Was it in Lakeview? Lakeview's got a, no, they have an indoor area.
Was it an indoor rodeo arena?
I think they got an indoor rodeo. I was there for their fair, and they have they had the farm animals in there, but I don't know if it was an indoor rodeo or not. They were outside during the summer, but I think they have a space for an indoor.
Yes, there is an outdoor arena too, yes.
Must have been Lakeview.
So that was probably it, yeah. Yeah, and they were very helpful too with the providing the horses and all the extras and stuff. So it was really, really well done. And I appreciate everything from Shady Cove to Medford to Ashland. You know, everybody was great.
Yeah. So you shot in quite a few places, locations.
No, four, five, six locations, yep.
And
Eagle Point was another one, but yeah, go ahead.
And you said now you still got some shooting to do?
No, not for Timberlands. No, it's completed.
Oh, you're done. All right, well done. Did you meet your deadline?
Oh yeah, we got the whole thing done in 13 days. Well, they did some early shots before I got out there, you know, just for scenery and things like that. They got a lot of drone shots and stuff. But the actual filming with the actors was, I think, 13 days.
Wow,
we got it done.
A quick shoot.
Oh, it was long. It was long days.
Yeah, long days, but 13 days. I mean, yeah, my scene didn't end until 1:30 in the morning when I was there.
Yeah, well, I was on one last year. It was 27 days. I mean, it'll just wear you out, man. I mean, it's fun and all that, but boy, when you're getting up every morning and working for 16 hours.
Acting is tiring. Making movies.
Well,
it
really is. It's not just showing up. It's showing up with your lines memorized, your acting skills, and. You know, yes, it can be quite laborious, but it's rewarding in the end.
I think acting is the best job in the world. You can get paid good money to be an actor. You got the best job in the world.
That's right. I do love it.
Yeah. And you're living your passion. Tom Parnell, movie producer and personal injury lawyer.
That's right. Anybody out there, you get an accident, call. Look me up in Tampa.
All right, Tom, thanks for joining me today. Good luck with the movie. Maybe I'll get invited to the premiere or the film festival if it's in Oregon or something. Keep it on the list.
Well, we're still trying to get it picked up as a pilot too, the first one. So if we do, we'll be back.
All right. You might want to go TV with this.
Yeah, on the pilot, yeah. Well, or spin off the movie and do a TV series.
You're flexible. You're adaptable. Whatever whatever they want, you'll give them.
That's right. Whatever they need.
All right. So thanks a lot. Tom Parnell, movie producer of Timberlands, which shot in Southern Oregon, has some local actors. Thanks for joining me today on the Klamath Tribes podcast.
Thank you, my friend. Everybody, happy holidays. Happy New Year. Yeah!